It's such a great and wondrous time to be here in the house of the Lord once more and to share with you on this Father's Day a word for the next few minutes about fathers and what it means to be fathers, what it takes to be a father. And so I hope and pray today that you're having a good Father's Day so far. You know what brings a smile to my face is to see a little man, I call him little man, he's standing up there in the choir singing songs unto the Lord, standing up there by his papa. Now, you don't think that blesses a person's heart to see my little man back there singing praises unto God? And let me say this. We fathers, we must live by and we must be the example. Amen? We have to be the example for these little guys. Your sons, your daughters. Jeff, we got to be the example. Dennis, Terry, Wally, Ray. We all have to be examples of what we want our children to be. You know, I love being Carson's friend. Anybody else, you like being your son's friend or your grandson's friend? But sometimes you have to be more than a friend. Everybody's a friend of somebody. But it takes, sometimes you have to be more than just a friend. You know, I want more than just a friend. I wanted a father. When I was growing up, my dad didn't spend much time with me. And what little time it was, my sister can vouch for that. But I wanted a father. But I always remember a guy. He wasn't my father. I always remember, Pat, you remember Gary Dean? I always remembered him as being my father. I even wished, and I know that sounds terrible, but I wished this guy was my father. Because I felt like this guy loved me like a son. And he had sons of his own. But you know why I felt that way? I want to tell you why I felt that way. And I know today why I felt that way. It's because I saw what he did. I saw that he set the example of who he was. He was a father that loved his kids. And I'm not saying my dad didn't love me, but this guy, I saw the way he raised his kids. He set an example before his kids. And I love the way this guy was toward my family. But I want you to think about what I said just a few minutes ago. What will your children think of you someday? What will they say about you? What will they talk about when they're sitting around the table, when they're your age, when they're my age? I'll be 52, God willing, next month. I'll be 52. I don't mind sharing it with you. I'm not ashamed of my age. I'm glad that I've made it to 52. I never thought I'd make it to 30. Amen. Anybody else? I never thought I'd make it to 30, but I'm glad that God spared my life, and God willing, I'll be alive 52 years next month. But what will people say? What will your children say about you? What will be some of the things that they'll sit around one day and remember the most? Will it be good things? Will it be bad things? Because believe you, when I tell you that whatever example you're setting today, your children are going to remember it down the road. They're going to remember what you did, what you said, how you treated them, how you loved them, how you didn't love them. And they're going to remember it all. Now, preacher, that don't sound like too good of a Father's Day message there. But let me tell you, it is a good message. It's a message of preparing for what's to come. How many in here as fathers want your children to grow up to be successful, moral, upright, standing, decent people in society? Right here, you looking at one. I want Layla and Carson to grow up to be successful individuals that succeeds anything I've ever done. And I want to be the one that told them. I want to be the one that told them about what we're about to tell you about. I want to be able to tell them that God loves them so much. Where's Jackson at? God loves you so much, Jackson and Carson, and Emma's not here. and all your grandchildren, all your sons, all your daughters, we have to, as fathers, set the foundation from the very beginning. And over in Proverbs, I want to read some scripture to you out of Proverbs this morning. Proverbs chapter 22. Let me read this verse, one verse of scripture to you this morning, and we're going to go forward and read some more. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 to start with this morning. Let me flip over there real quick. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Let me find my eyes here. Right here. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Look what it says. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Start children off on the way they should go. Now, what does that mean to you this morning? Start your children off on the way they should go. Now, you come to my house. If you come into my house, and you're going to know one thing. You're going to find out one thing in my house, what I stand for. I don't stand for any kind of foolishness. I don't stand for drinking. I don't stand for any carousing around. I don't stand for none of that. But what I do stand for is the Word of God. I stand for God Himself. If you come and live under my roof, you're going to know what God means. You're going to know who God is. Because I'm going to be talking to you about Him. I'm going to be telling you about Him. And believe you me, when I say this, I talk a lot about God in my home. I'm not ashamed to talk to my grandkids. I'm not ashamed to tell Layla. I'm not ashamed to tell Carson. I'm not ashamed. There's a 25-year-old one that sits right up here on the front pew this morning. She lives under the roof of my house. And guess what? She still has to listen to me about God. She still has to listen to me lecture to her when I think that according to the Word of God, I don't just go off and just say, oh, this is what I think you should do. Thus saith the Word of God. Amen. Thus saith the Word of God. Start your children off on the path, the right path. See, there's a right path to start on and there's a wrong path. But if you start your children off on the right path, say, I didn't start off on the right path. Anybody else in here? I had to learn the hard way. I was 30 years old before I ever met Christ. I would say before He ever found me, but see, Christ already had found me. I had to find Him. Christ knew right where I was. Anybody else? Christ knew where I was. He didn't have to look for me. I was lost. I was set on the wrong path from the get-go. I never was set on the right path. I never was taught about God's love in the home. And I love my father. But my father wasn't one of those that talked to you about God. Now, he talked to you with a belt, but he wasn't with God. But my grandmother did. She told me a lot about God. Right, Pat? She told me a lot about God. But listen, the foundation starts with God. Amen? Does it not? Am I telling you a lie this morning, church family? The foundation, your foundation is built upon what? The rock of God. Your foundation is built upon believing in God. And listen, that's what I want my children's lives to be built upon. Not the materialism world that we're living in today, to get whatever you can get, to make whatever you can make, to do whatever it is that they say they have the right to do. See, that's where we go wrong. We got to set the path before our children so that they might follow the right path. Start them off on the way they should go. And what is the way they should go? They should go with the ways of the Lord. They should know everything about who God is and what God expects of them. Well, preacher, we don't live in that time anymore. Yeah, we do. It's the people that choose not to live in that time anymore. I'm living in that time. I'm living in that time right now. Because I want, you say, well, we want the best for our children. We want to give our children the best of everything. Well, why not give them the best of God? If you want your children to have the best of everything, then why not give them the best of God? Amen? Why not give them the best of God? Why would you settle for anything less? Because God is going to be the one that's going to bless them. God has blessed me to be a father. I didn't know how to be a father. I'm still learning. Be honest with you, I don't know everything there is to know about a father. I'm still learning. Now, I'm a good lecturer, as you know. I can lecture. I should have been a professor in a college somewhere. Those kids would have probably not liked me. But man, I love telling people about God. That's your heavenly Father. Why would you not want to talk about your heavenly Father? People say, I don't want to hear about no father. Tell me something else, preacher. Tell me something else that's good. Okay, I'll tell you something else that's good. I'll tell you something else that's good. I'm going to read some more scripture to you this morning. Over in Proverbs, I got something marked here over in Proverbs. You know, the book of Proverbs, Solomon, he talks about all kinds, the whole book of Proverbs is about training. It's about setting the example. It's about teaching your children how they should grow up and live their own lives. Read the book of Proverbs. If you've never studied the book of Proverbs, then study the book of Proverbs. It's an entire book of instructions and warnings for fathers, for children. Read the book of Proverbs and you'll find out for yourself. Over in Proverbs chapter 23, I got something else marked here. Let me look real quick. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 24. I was just there and I flipped back. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 24. Proverbs chapter 3, chapter 23, verse 24. Right here it is. Okay, it says here in the Word of God, the father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. And we'll read that to you one more time this morning. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 24, it says here in the Word of God that the father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who follows a wise son rejoices in him. Now listen, you know, I have rejoiced. I have rejoiced in Amber. I have rejoiced in Stephan. I have rejoiced in Carson. I have rejoiced in Layla. They have brought me great joy. Amen. Any other fathers, has your sons or daughters brought you great joy? Well, then you can be proud of that this morning. You can praise God for that this morning. As a preacher says, that will preach this morning. If your children bring you joy, then you're doing something right. Okay? Now, not to say if they bring you grief, because it also says that a son can bring a father grief. And listen, I've been down that road a lot of times. There's been a lot of grief that I can tell you. I can tell you story after story this morning. Pam's looking down at the floor and saying, don't go no further than that. I'm not going to say anything else other than that. I've had a lot of grief. But guess what? You know what the Bible says? You know what the Bible instructs all fathers to do? Even if your son or your daughter brings you grief, you still have to love them. Amen? You still have to love them no matter what they've done or what they do or what they're doing, even if you don't agree with it. Now, that's tough for a preacher. That's tough for a man like me, because I want it my way or no way, especially if it lines up with the Word of God. Now, like I said, I'm not afraid to tell you. And me and you can disagree to agree or to disagree, and we can compare Scripture to Scripture. We can debate, we can argue, but what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. There is no in between. But let me tell you this morning, on an up note, I have rejoiced in the Lord because Amber, you know, the day she graduated school, that brought joy to me. Stephan graduated school, Carson graduated, remember when we graduated kindergarten? We had that little program. Man, that was a great, I mean, you know, it was just kindergarten. But you know what? It was big to me. Amen? It was big to me. You know, always me and Amber, when she got old enough, even with Stephan, no, it was probably Amber because she was three. I always didn't understand why she couldn't tie her own shoes. Why can't you learn to tie your shoes? And Pam would always have to tie her shoes. I never did understand that. But now, guess what? After practice and training, showing and over and over and over and over and over, and untying the knots. You know how a kid gets a knot? They try to tie their shoes and they get the knots and they just, you can't get them. You just tighten them as tight as they can get and you have to end up taking a knife and cutting them out and putting new strings in them. Anybody ever done that? But what a joy it was. What a joy it was when they could tie their own shoes. I mean, man, that might be a small feat to some people, but that's a big deal. It was a big deal in my house. I'm like, man, she could finally tie her shoes. Praise God. We don't want to do it no more. Wouldn't you just grow? I mean, that's a small amount of joy, but man, that's a great amount of joy to me when you think about it. Praise God for that. And now they're doing so much more. Now they're doing so much more. Carson's a smart little guy back there. I mean, he's a smart little guy. Layla's a smart little girl. Papa's telling them already, you come to my house, you're going to get talked to about all kinds of things because I don't want my children and grandchildren not to know what's out here in this world. I want them to be prepared. As a good father, you teach your children. You talk to your children. You tell you. You don't just teach them, talk to them. You pray with them. You lay your hands on them, you pray with them. You pray for them. You love on them as much as you can. Every day. Because this is the day we have, the Lord has made. We're not guaranteed of tomorrow. Tell your children you love them. Don't be afraid to talk to your children. That's what a good father does. How many times does God talk to you in a day? God talks to me all the time about things. Phil, don't say that. Phil, don't do that. Phil, stop working. Go home. Be we family. Phil, thank God for the rain. You know what? You know, a lot of days, Wally, I'm just thankful it's raining. A lot of days I'm just thinking, man, it's going to rain today. I could spend all day at home. If I'm off, I don't have to go work. I don't have to do anything else. I can go home. Some days I think about work. You know what I think about work some days? Work today, no good. I don't even think I'm going to work today. Is that wrong? Nah, it ain't wrong. Some days maybe that's what God tells you. You know, you can't be too busy for your family. You don't need to be too busy for your kids. Y'all, preacher, we got to make money. The Lord, if we say the Lord supplies our need, then what are we worried about? Amen? What are we worried about? If we're saying that, then we don't trust God. But a good father knows what to do. A good father knows what not to do. If he's based and his faith is placed in God himself. Now listen, I had a lot I was going to share with you this morning. But let me tell you this morning. I had something happen to me this week. I had something happen to me this week that it couldn't be no other way to explain it but a God thing. This week, a couple of years ago, I bought a four-wheeler. Bought it brand new. Bought it out here at Bash Brothers. Brand new four-wheeler. And me and Carson and Layla, we ride it every once in a while, but I'm always busy doing this and that, talking on the phone or working or, you know, whatever. So I decided one day this week that I was going to sell it. Early in the week, I think it was Monday, I decided I was going to sell it. So I put it on the marketplace. And I'm not telling you this story because bringing any glory to myself, I've given all the glory this morning to God. I already told the story to somebody this morning, but I told them you'd probably hear it again. And I think I already told it to my sister too, but she's going to hear it again too. So, I got a guy that wanted to look at it. He was interested in it. And so he said, if it looks good as you say it does and it's new as you say it is, then I'll probably end up buying it. Well, I met the guy Thursday. Now I can remember what I did Thursday, Pam. That's what I did. I met that guy. I met this guy Thursday out here at the marathon at 69 and across from Utaka. And he looked at it and he liked it. He wanted to buy it. And first thing he said to me when he got out of the truck, he said, my son, he looked at the four-wheeler and he said, my son's got cancer. That's what he told me. He said, my son's got cancer. And he said, he'll love this four-wheeler. He said he's on one of them make-a-wish And he said he had no way of getting that thing to his house. He had a little old ratchety trailer, and we couldn't even get that thing on the trailer. And so he lived out at Joppa, and I told him, I said, I'll follow you out there. So I followed the guy out there, got out there and pulled up in his yard, and the mama come outside, and the little boy come outside, probably about 14, 15-year-old. And you know, a lot of times in life, we get burnt so many times, we just don't believe people, we don't trust people. We think, well, this guy's trying, he's fixing to try to, you know, Jew me down or something. You know, you just don't believe people's stories. You've been hurt so many times by people out here in this world, and you don't believe people's stories. Well, I was kind of leery. I'll be honest with you, I was kind of leery. But I put my faith and trust in the Lord that I'd be all right. Everything will turn out okay. So when the boy come out of the house, he had a hoodie on. And his legs were probably about that big around. And his mama told me they just got back from chemo. And you know what? That really hit me in my heart. Really hit me in my heart that this boy did have cancer. And he stood there. And now listen, he stood there in that yard, just froze. He didn't know what to think. And his dad was looking at him. And his dad said, get on the four-wheeler. And he said, is this mine? And his dad said, yes, this is yours. I bought it for you. And that little boy's face just lit up, Frida. It just lit up, man. He had a smile on his face like you couldn't believe. And he got on that four-wheeler, and he took off, Terry. He took off and just started riding that four-wheeler. And his mama was just thanking me. She said, I appreciate you bringing this to me. Said, he's on this Make-A-Wish, and we've looked, and we couldn't find anything on Facebook. It was just junk. And we ran across yours. And she said, I told my husband, if this is a real deal, then make it happen. That's a father's love for his child. Amen. Guys, that's a father's love. He was willing to do whatever it took to get a hold of that four-wheeler for his son. And I know now that was a God thing. I know now that was what God wanted me to do. And I know now that was a blessing to someone else. What a blessing. If you could have just seen that boy's face, what if that had been your son? What if that had been your grandson or your granddaughter or your daughter? Do you know what that boy is? You know what that boy probably thought? This is the best day of my life. I got what I wanted. I don't know if the boy was expecting to die or not. But it was a blessing to see that boy jump on that four-wheeler. And then the next thing I know, his mom was on the back of it. And I thought, this can't be good. Because he was the operator. And I thought, well, this can't be good. I told him, I said, be careful, because this thing has got a lot of power and it might get you hurt. But you know, that little boy was smiling from ear to ear. But he couldn't believe it. And that's a father's love to his children this morning. And I wanted to share that with you. Because fathers, today is Father's Day. And it's a great responsibility to be a father. It's a great blessing to be a father. Don't let your children down. Don't let your grandchildren down. Be their example. Be their hero. Be their role model. Be their friend. Be whatever they need you to be, even if you don't want to be it. Listen to them. Talk to them. Teach them. Train them. Tell them about God. Instruct them in the ways of the Lord. Those who seek righteousness shall be filled. Those who seek righteousness, they shall be filled. And today the Lord has filled me with everything that I could possibly have. I have more today than I possibly deserve. And I'm not talking material things. I'm talking about when Carson climbs up in a recliner with me that's only big enough for one person. He wants to watch TV with Papa. He wants to climb up in the recliner with Papa. He wants to hang out with Papa. He wants to do things with Papa. Don't deny him that chance, that opportunity. Better do it while you can. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, I never thought I'd be a father or a grandfather. But God, your plans are not my plans. Your ways are not my ways. Your ways and your plans are a lot higher than my ways and my plans. God, I pray for all the fathers that are here today, even if they're a stepfather. God, maybe they're not even a stepfather. Maybe, Lord, they're just a father figure. And they're having an influence of some way, somehow in the lives of children, Heavenly Father. God, I pray your blessings upon each one today, Lord. God, give us the wisdom, give us the knowledge, Heavenly Father, that we need to share with our children, to help them to follow in your ways, to help them to be set on the path of righteousness with you. And God, help us not to fail them. Lord, the Bible tells us also that if anyone offends one of these little ones, it'd be better off for them to have a millstone tied around their neck and they'd be thrown into the sea. So God, I know it displeases you. I know, Lord, it displeases you greatly when one of these little children are offended or hurt. But God, I pray that we wouldn't be that way, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to be strong, that you would help us to do the things, God, that as fathers, that earthly fathers that we need to do and what we need to be. Let us be the examples. Let us lead lives of example, Heavenly Father, of righteousness, Heavenly Father. And God, that our children may grow up one day and being blessed by your hand as well, Heavenly Father. And they'll bless their children and so on, Heavenly Father. So God, I pray for each father that's here today, each father that's watching on Facebook today, Lord. Lord, if they don't know how to be a father, Lord, let them ask you to help them. Let them receive the training that they need to be fathers, Heavenly Father, that they could step up and be the fathers they need to be and fill their hearts with love and the desire of righteousness, Heavenly Father, and set their lives on the right path. And God, if we failed you in any way, as fathers, God, we ask you to forgive us. If we've hurt our children in any way, Heavenly Father, we have asked you now to forgive us, Heavenly Father. And Lord, go on down the pathway of life with us, even when our children are grown and on their own, Heavenly Father, and have lives and families of their own, God. May we still be fathers. May we still be the ones that they call and ask for guidance and answers to their questions, Heavenly Father. And God, may we have them. And may we be able to do the things, God, continue to do the things that we're already doing. And God, now we ask you that everyone that's heard these words, Lord, to be blessed in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.